The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, May 21st, 2018. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is in week two of a terrific vacation in the Bahamas. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., or you can catch the live stream at buckmastershow.com or KVOI.com. Bill's Facebook page is packed with great information for his listeners, including some great photos from his trip over the past week. Do not miss the photo of the starfish, by the way. It's incredible. You can check it out just by typing in Buckmaster Show on Facebook. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com all the way back to 2011 when the show started. We start off the week talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off, and we have lots to talk about these days. Today we are welcoming Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking about Honor Flight. That's a national effort to get veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials built in their honor. We've had hundreds go from this area, and the latest flight just returned a week ago today, so we're looking forward to that. As always, you are invited to join the discussion. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. It is time for our Monday political face-off. We're joined by Bruce Ash, GOP National Committeeman from Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializing in custom-framed mirrors, wall art, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. They've got everything, and they do it right. That's Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. Don and Bruce, hope you guys had a great weekend.
A good one, yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice.
And you both attended the wedding over there in outside of London.
There was a wedding?
Yes. Did I hear that? Yeah. Finally, last night, my wife made me watch some news clips from it. So, yeah, there was a wedding.
You know, the best part of the wedding, I thought, was the homily from the American minister talking about love. And you know, he really made it not just about marital love, but love in general, mm-hmm. Talking about not just Jesus Christ, but Martin Luther King and others, and really how so many of the world's problems, I mean, you know, we can sort of trivialize this a little bit, but, you know, it really, for me, it struck a real chord of trueness to it. I really, really liked what he had to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would say that a lot of our problems in this world are heart problems. And so we need to be...
lack of.
Yeah, or lack of. Exactly right. So unfortunately, Friday saw yet another school shooting, this one south of Houston, Texas. The shooting at Santa Fe High School took 10 lives, including at least 8 students. 13 people injured was the last number I saw. Bruce, Oliver North, who's the incoming president of the NRA, blamed the shootings such as this on, quote, youngsters who are steeped in a culture of violence, unquote. And he also mentioned that a lot of them are drugged, which was a reference to Ritalin, which a lot of kids are on. Was that proper response at this point?
Well, I don't know if this young man or the others in recent months, you know, we're on Ritalin or other drugs like that, but you do have to wonder what the impact of very violent movies, television shows, and maybe as important as anything else, video games, where there's senseless violence on both sort of ends of the scale, and if this is what you're exposed to from the time you're a young kid, I think in some cases, and we're talking about the real outliers in society, you know, who have committed these sorts of heinous crimes, but you just have to wonder what that impact has been on them. And Dan and Don, if it wasn't a gun, you know, this guy was talking about pressure cooker bombs in some of his screeds. We've seen other people, you know, who have used cars and knives and trucks and what have you. It doesn't make any difference. This is a cold-hearted world. The minister we just talked about called it right. And you know, there's a lot to be said about hardening schools, and Santa Fe was thought to be somewhat hardened, you know, security-wise. But obviously, this kid had other ideas.
Don, is it a gun problem?
Of course it's a gun problem. What Oliver North said is absolute nonsense. Now, yes, there are mental health issues and mental health problems, and that could be part of a large range of solutions. But these violent video games, which, by the way, Oliver North used to back and do ads for, so a little bit of hypocrisy there, but they are everywhere around the world. Kids are everywhere around the world. Medications are everywhere around the world. They don't have the numbers of mass shootings, of school shootings, that the U.S. has. In the last 9 years, the U.S. has had 228 school shootings. The next closest country in number is Mexico with less than 10. The only difference when you look at all the possible issues is the difference in access to assault weapons, access to guns.
But Don, we have 300 million guns in this country.
Right.
And isn't the horse left the barn on that one? I mean, Mexico probably doesn't have nearly that many. Therefore, I don't know if that's an excuse for the number of shootings, but how do you rein it in when we have so many guns already out there?
You look at what steps are realistic and what steps are possible to balance gun ownership with with public safety and the right to live without fear of going to school or to the movies. There are many reasonable steps that can be taken when you looking at everything from closing the background check loopholes, from keeping automatic weapons out of the hands of children, from looking at, yes, providing opportunities to involve the courts when there's concerns about dangerous individuals who are dangerous to themselves or others. All of these steps are possible, and all of these steps have the support of the majority of Americans. It's only the NRA and the do-nothing politicians, primarily on the right, and there are some on the left as well, who are continuing to get on this merry-go-round of excuses every time there's a school shooting or a mass shooting. Well, it's video games, or it's mental illness, or it's this or that, or it's the need for school hardening. Anything.
Could it be a little of everything?
Could all of this play? Yes, it's a little of all those things, and a lot of unrestricted access to weapons of war.
But this child, as I understand it, used a shotgun and a handgun, and these are things that have not in the past been targeted so much by those who are, concerned about what's happening out there. So how could something like this have been avoided, understanding fully that something simply can't be?
Well, again, if you look at all the options that are possible to reduce the scourge of gun violence, what's wrong with trying all of these things? What's wrong with trying to save lives? In this specific example, what about holding gun owners responsible if their guns are used in a crime? You know, we hold car owners responsible if their cars are used in that way. So there are a lot of different steps. What about, yes, increasing or providing funding for school counselors that have been cut around the country and certainly cut to the bone in Arizona and Doug Ducey, even in the recent bill that got passed, refused to fund that. This is a kid that did show some signs in the school. Additional counselors might have provided an opportunity to address it. Why not try all of these steps instead of continuing to listen to the folks who say, oh, there's nothing we can do?
Okay, Bruce, you talked about fortifying schools. Oliver North also mentioned the NRA's School Shield program, which offers free security assessments. They look at possible issues such as where people exit and enter a school campus. Is that worth a look?
Sure it is. And the NRA and other organizations who feel similarly are right to talk about that. There's no accident that once airports became more difficult to enter, to get onto the concourse, as well as even get through the front door. Airports suddenly stopped being a target for this sort of violence, because they knew that, A, they wouldn't get through the door, and in some cases, B, they'd probably be shot as soon as they displayed a weapon. Don makes some good points, and certainly I think that you can't just create a hardened school environment and say, well, that's it. But Don's a psychologist, and I think Don knows very well that, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think Don knows very well the sorts of problems that exist in our society today, not just with violence, but the level of dark hearts that seem to exist today, who don't get the consequences of doing these sorts of things. This young man who was shot just a while back trying to harm students in a school that he had used to attend in Florida, and was shot by the SRO officer. Mm-hmm. That was a case where the SRO officer rushed him at great peril to his own life, and took control of the situation. We certainly need more hardening of these schools, as well as counseling, as well as greater police protection or security protection of some sort. We'll let the politicians parse that out. But we can't continue to do nothing. And frankly, I think there's probably obstruction that comes from both sides of the aisle when it comes to this particular topic.
Okay, very good. We are coming up on 12:16, and we are going to take a quick break. Remember, the Political Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And don't forget Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a great job with their European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They've got everything, and I'm going to stop by there before I do Friday's show. They're at the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. That's moesgallery.com, and of course you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. You've caught us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. As we all know, Senator John McCain is in a battle for his life with brain cancer. May 30th is a key date when it comes time to transition possibly his position. Bruce, tell us about that.
Well, provided Senator McCain survives that date and you know hasn't resigned from the U.S. Senate, if a appointment is made at a later time upon either retirement or passing, the governor will make a selection of a replacement, and that individual will serve through the election year 2020, when there'll be another election during the presidential election that year to fill the remaining 2 years of Senator McCain's term, which expires on 2022. There was a picture in the paper, I think this morning or yesterday, showing him and Mrs. McCain. I think it was his birthday, and there was some celebration, and he looked pretty good for a guy that has you've heard so many terrible medical reports on. And although probably sometimes, and I have to admit, from time to time, I've been a detractor of Senator McCain's, on something that I didn't like, what he said or how he said it or what he did or how he did it, he's had some pretty harsh criticism from Republicans over the years, but he has no intention of stepping aside before that date and forcing a special election in this particular election year, which would really be a disaster, I think, for Arizona politics. I think it would probably upset things both on the Democratic side as well as on the Republican side in terms of, who's running for what. So
it would have a lot of consequences.
Yeah, I think so.
It would.
Because I think Mr. Stanton, who's running for CD9, probably would be a prime candidate for that particular position. So that would leave, CD9 probably unprotected because the other individuals in that particular primary are, pretty much non-entities, I think.
Okay, so May 30th, a key date when it comes to Senator McCain. We'll see what happens there. Former Attorney General and Phoenix Mayor Terry Goddard wants dark money tossed out of Arizona, and that is, money pumped into elections that do not have a name attached to them. And he is the spark plug behind an attempt to change the state constitution to force disclosure of names of donors to political campaigns. Bruce, is this do we need this type of an amendment to the state constitution?
Well, I don't think so. And look, we have had a great deal of decisions in courts and regulatory commissions who've ruled on this as well over the years. Individuals organizations, such as corporations, have a right under the Constitution to have their free speech protected by the law. And part of that free speech has to do with protecting them against some of the consequences that come from that information being displayed as sometimes it is in public. I wish it wasn't that way, but that is the way that it seems to be in this country, and it's been that way not just in modern times, Dan, but you know, going back to the Civil War, pre-Civil War, you know, some people who opposed slavery, for example, or were for slavery, or were, you know, on pro or con sides of different issues, you know, their stores would be you know, burned out or ransacked, people killed and injured. You know, this has always been the way in our free society. Sometimes people have chosen to deal with things like this.
Don, is potential bullying or harassment enough to allow these names to not be disclosed?
That's a Republican fiction. There's been none of that, and we're talking primarily about corporations, not individuals, or very rich individuals for whom that's really not an issue. What Bruce is referring to is the 2010 Citizens United ruling from the Supreme Court, which said that donating to campaigns protected on the First Amendment right to free speech. What that has done is turned campaign spending on its head, and we've seen unprecedented amounts of money gone into campaigns and hidden. And this is kind of a funny day where I'm actually going to say nice things about two Republicans. The first was John McCain, and I agree with everything Bruce said. Yes, I also had political disagreements with him, surprisingly, but nothing but respect for the man. And second, in this case, I'm going to give you a quick quote from Justice Antonin Scalia. He is the one who valued transparency in political activity and spoke about this very issue. And what he said, it's very quick, requiring people to stand up in public for their political acts fosters civic courage, without which democracy is doomed. And he said this does not resemble the home of the brave if that were to happen. There really is no rational defense for dark money. And what this constitutional change would do is simply require anyone making a campaign contribution of over $10,000 in a two-year cycle must promptly disclose the identity of all the original sources. So they can't be hidden through PACs and or other means.
Democrats often say that Republicans come up with goofy propositions that go on the ballot and create a lot of problems for our state, which result in lawsuits and, you know, fights to the Supreme Court and so on. This is a proposition that is fraught with those same kinds of problems, and probably will be ruled unconstitutional if it's passed, going all the way up to the Supreme Court. And by the way, a anti-ballot harvesting law, which was passed here in this state, and was ruled in favor of continuing that law, is working its way through the 9th District and probably will have a hearing on an emergency basis before the Supreme Court later this year. But look, we will spend a lot of money for something that is patently unconstitutional, and I hope it doesn't work out that way. You know, voters will have a chance as they do. I hope that they'll reject this the same way that they reject this goofy so-called clean air initiative by Tom Steyer that is also going to be on this this year's ballot, I think.
Well, what they didn't do is reject it in Tempe earlier this year when, by a 91% margin, the voters backed a change to their city charter, and that change would have forced disclosure of names of anybody who donated more than $1,000 to local elections. You got to attach your name to it.
I don't know. Right, I don't know what
the
makes
the only people who rejected that were Doug Ducey and the GOP legislature, who immediately passed a law disallowing
correct.
That. They are the ones who essentially want to support dark money and hide the names of their donors.
Well, I do not know why Democrats like Don refer to this as a Republican fiction. When should it be? When is it reasonable that wealthy people or corporations don't have the same civil rights that poor people do, or middle class people do, or people who live on the East Coast or the right coast or the left coast or whatever it happens to be. This is clearly a constitutional issue that is not going to end well for us here in Arizona if it's passed.
Well, Citizens United said that they could donate, but it didn't say that they could hide. But that's what we've ended up with in Arizona, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that in the case of the quote that that Don stated from Justice Scalia is taken exactly in the right context. Democrats love to use that quote, as they do other things that are taken out of context to prove a point. Justice Scalia would rightly say that it is unfair on its face for rich people to be treated differently than poor people.
Okay.
Well, let me allow Scalia to respond, who also said, "I do not look forward to a society which campaigns anonymously, hidden from public scrutiny, and protected from the accountability
we're
of criticism."
We're hardly that way, Don. I mean, the amount of a disclosure that takes place within campaigns is enormous.
The issue: do you support transparency or not?
Okay, well, a 91% vote in Tempe does tell me that this does seem to cross political lines. That is going to wrap it up for the Monday Political Face-Off. My thanks to Don and Bruce. Hope you guys have a great week. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is proud to present the Political Face-Off. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. When we return, we're going to be joined by Kathy and Tom Manser of Honor Flight Southern Arizona. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer sitting in for Bill. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And now we welcome to the show Kathy and Tom Manser. They are coordinators for Honor Flight Southern Arizona, and they have just returned, or Kathy has, from an honor flight a week ago today, and I had the privilege of being at the homecoming with hundreds of others. It was terrific, and oddly enough, Bill Buckmaster told me that on that previous Saturday, he was on that leg of the trip from Tucson, was it to Houston?
To Dallas,
and he saw roughly 20 veterans and just remarked at how well they were treated, and he said it was a thrill to be on the flight with the veterans and see how, again, well cared for they were, and they just loved it. And so he was so glad to hear that you were going to be on the show with us.
Great.
So, and you have been on before, and first, just give us a real quick overview, Kathy, of what is Honor Flight?
Honor Flight is a national program. It Vietnam vet Captain Earl Morse, he's a private pilot back in Ohio. He started up the program. He was a physician's assistant, had patients that were of World War II age, and when the memorial was built in 2004, which was about not quite 60 years after the war ended, he started asking patients if they'd been to see their memorial and if they'd like to go. Of course, they all wanted to go. Every time he'd see them in a few months later, they'd say, no, we haven't been. So he got an idea as a private pilot that he would take them for free. And would they go then? And of course, they said yes. So 2005, six small planes carrying 12 vets took them to Washington, D.C. to tour their memorials with the criteria that the vets paid nothing and they had an escort with them the whole time. That started Honor Flight, and now we have 131 hubs in 45 states.
It is quite something, and the World War II Memorial opened in 2004.
Right.
I happened to be in Washington, D.C. with my wife and children about a month after that. It is overwhelming. It is quite something, very emotional. Had a great opportunity to travel as a guardian on a flight, and I wanted the full experience as the newspaper guy. So I had a couple of veterans assigned to me and went on a trip in 2012. I've sent a reporter twice on trips. It's big down in Green Valley, but it's really big across the United States.
Exactly.
It is a, I will never forget, as we flew through Columbus, the veterans getting off the plane to change, and the crowds just erupting. Of course, they know that these veterans are coming in, and then of course when you land, the welcome is like none other. So it's something else. Honor Flight is transitioning. The World War II veterans are older. You still are getting World War II veterans on these flights, correct?
Right. And most hubs have probably migrated into Korea. We have too, but because we're in Arizona and everybody retires here, mm-hmm. we probably, along with four other hubs, still have World War II guys. We are down to less than 10 on our list, so we still take them, and whenever they come on, they get bumped to the top of the list because of their age. This last flight, we had 13 World War II and 10 Korean.
Okay.
So we're about half and half right now, and then the program is set up to go into, you know, Korean War veterans next and then Vietnam and go successively like that.
Tom, what roughly happens on the trip? It's 3 days out of Arizona, and I know it depends on where you are coming from in the country, but 3 days out of Arizona, what happens?
Well, the first day is a travel day. We fly from Tucson, and we arrive in Baltimore sometime that evening, and that's just our travel day. But the next day is the tour day. We get on the bus, and we head down to the World War II Memorial first, and then successively we go to every memorial you can get to by bus, and the veterans just really enjoy that. And then we come back to the hotel, and we have a banquet dinner, and then the third day is a short day because you're traveling west. And so it's kind of a choice. We've done the Fort McHenry one time, and we do some tours of the Baltimore area. But That's the trip.
Yep. And I don't think we can overstate how well cared for these veterans are, even down to there is a nurse assigned to every flight.
We travel usually with one or two medics, and we carry wheelchairs for everybody, even though a lot of them will say they don't need them. We have them in case they do. When we go to Arlington, which is one of the other highlights of the trip, to see the changing of the guard, everybody is in a wheelchair, and we all sit together. So we're very lucky. And a lot of times, just by the chance, some of the guardians have medical backgrounds. So we've been very fortunate, because really have to, safety is the name of the game. And I know these guys feel like they're back in the military when they travel with us, because we're pretty bossy, but we have to make sure that they don't fall.
It's all for them. And yep. So you have transitioned into taking Korean War veterans, and their enthusiasm is very high, and people don't realize the Korean War happened very shortly after World War II. And so a lot of these people are going to start aging out pretty quickly also.
Yep.
And a shorter conflict, but they are now on the flights and no less excited than our World War II veterans.
Exactly. And that's often called the Forgotten War. And I
Absolutely.
Think, yeah, and a lot of the guys I found on this flight, the last flight we went on, some of them had actually served in the reserves during World War II and then enlisted when the war broke out, because they had, commanders or whatever that happened to have served in World War II that made an impression on them. So.
Just as an aside, I a couple of weeks ago interviewed a man from Green Valley named Ron Nairn, and Ron served in the Chosin Reservoir conflict in Korea. It's one of the worst battles ever, and he recounted that to me. We'll have a story in Sunday's paper just prior to Memorial Day, but some of the things that these people, you see them at the grocery store, you see them at the library around town, and they look very nondescript. And to see and hear some of what they went through is absolutely incredible. How much of that kind of bubbles to the surface when they're actually standing in front of that memorial, Tom?
I'm not sure. They're quiet generation, too. We don't... I find out a lot because I do a lot of research, but the veteran that... served in that Chosin Reservoir battle. He was in the 1st Marines, and oh my God, it was the most incredible story.
Yes.
Not your guy, but yes. One of our veterans. So I get to learn all these firsthand accounts of how difficult conditions were back in that era. So
one of the things we do when we go on a flight is we write just a small biography on every veteran that's on the flight to help them connect with each other, and then that's how we sometimes find out stuff, and when they read, then that sometimes opens the doors for conversations. But I would mention that a lot of times what happens is when you get their application, it might see artillery, and then you talk to them and they might have served in Patton's 3rd Army, so they're
veterans.
They're very humble about it.
Well, we have been trying to capture this history. One of our freelance writers, Ellen Sussman, has written I think more than 130 mini bios. Everybody who goes on honor flight is interviewed by our paper, and it goes in the paper, and it's part of history. And we dig up some of these details that are just incredible. And for a lot of them, they did not. You're exactly right, Tom. They did not want to share some of this, and so who knows what they're thinking as they stand there. But it is an honor. Everybody I've talked to, and it's been dozens and dozens of people, are just overwhelmed by the honor of honor flight, and it is an incredible experience and incredible way to thank them also. So, Kathy, who pays for this?
Well, we are 100% volunteer and 100% privately funded. So it is our community. It's schools, it's rotaries, it's legions, it's businesses, it's private individuals that step up and make contributions. This last flight, I'd mentioned that we have several schools. Usually the kids are learning about World War II in 8th grade. And we had Legacy Traditional. They raised enough money to sponsor a vet, which I find really touching because it's such a generation so far removed from them. Academy of Tucson does it. We have a little gal that's been working with us since she was 6 that hosted a fundraiser in December.
Wow.
Raised enough for 3 vets. So it's not just adults. It's children, and it's a way to teach them. It's a living history for them. So Yeah, it's all of Southern Arizona that supports us, and in a very big way.
Before we forget, give us the website.
It's www.honorflightsaz, stands for Southern Arizona.
Okay, so you are one of the 130 hubs.
Yeah,
org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so honorflightsaz.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can find out more about the local hub, and we have two hubs in Arizona. Is that right?
Right. The other hub services Northern Arizona, so they service everybody from Phoenix north, and we take Tucson down south and some of the outlying areas like Yuma and Ajo and stuff. Yeah, because we were so large, we split off from them in 2011 because our waiting list was well over 1,000. So we had to split the state in half just to get to these guys before our time ran out.
Okay, it is a little after 12:44, and we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about Honor Flight, and in particular, Honor Flight Southern Arizona, our local hub. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Man. back to the Buckmaster Show. Some exciting news from Green Things and Socalo. Fine Mexican import. Socalo at 2924 East Broadway is moving soon to a new location on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. With all the great Socalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America right now, take advantage of great pre-moving sale items at Socalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. There's a link to the Socalo website at buckmastershow.com. We are talking to Kathy and Tom Manser. They're coordinators for Honor Flight Southern Arizona, which is one of 130 hubs for Honor Flight across the country. And Honor Flight takes our nation's veterans back to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials built in their honor. And we want to make it perfectly clear that the veterans fly for free. Is that right, Kathy?
That is right. And they pay for nothing. It's our way of saying thank you.
Yep. The guardians, they pay. And sometimes a guardian is assigned to them. Sometimes a guardian is a family member. How does that work?
We will take family members. They cannot be a spouse because this trip is for the veteran. And the guardian is actually works very hard, as you know, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never ask someone's wife or husband to do that. So they can be a first-generation family member, a son, a daughter, can be a granddaughter. Certain criteria they have to meet in order to be a guardian as far as lifting and whatnot. And then the fee is $1,000. And I will tell you, having gone as a guardian myself several times, and Tom and Dan, I'm sure you'll attest to this, it's the best $1,000 you'll ever spend. And I'll still say to this day, one of the top five experiences of my whole life. It's the just you come back and you're on a high for days.
Absolutely. And then you're more motivated than ever to help them out and get more people there. And frankly, in Green Valley, there was a sense of urgency. So back in 2012, we had a lot of these World War II vets coming through, and they are in their early 80s. Now they're in their late or even early 90s, and there are fewer and fewer of them. This was the spring flight. And what is the next flight?
This was our 24th flight, so yeah, and it was the only flight we're doing this spring. We have two planned for the fall. The tentative dates for September are the 22nd through the 24th, and October 27th through 29. And we'll probably, we tend to take about 23 to 25 veterans on a flight when we fly commercial, and both of those are slated to be commercial flights.
And if somebody wanted to be a guardian but they have no connection to Honor Flight or a vet or whatever, do you take those applications?
Absolutely. You could just go onto our website, www.honorflightsaz.org, and go under the section How to Help Guardians and fill out an application. And then usually the mix now is probably about a little over half of the guardians would be family members, and then the other half would be like myself on the last flight. I just met the gentleman right before the flight that I was going to be traveling with. But now he's family.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and I was rooming with one of the World War II vets who lives down in Green Valley. Still see him on occasion. And for some reason, his watch would go off at 4 in the morning. And I, you know, very patient with him, and we just kind of got up and fixed it. And he said, you know, I don't know how this darn thing works, but I think I got it now. Nope, next morning, 4 in the morning. It's okay. You know what? Part of the experience. Loved it. Wonderful people. A lot more women veterans than I think some people bank on out of World War II also, Kathy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've taken, at our hub, I think we're at 35 women that we've taken. And yeah, I will tell you, on one of the flights, we had a woman veteran there, and as circumstances, something happened, and we happened to see her ankle, and she had a tattoo on her ankle, and I was like, you are a woman before your time, Missy. And she was also in the Marine Corps, so yeah. You don't usually, mostly you associate World War II with the waves, but yeah, she was in the Marine Corps.
Absolutely, and it's really interesting, even the people who have been, who were in the service just 2 or 3, 4 years, still have that that presence about them of having been in the military, and there's this respect and there's this honor, and they deserve that. It's really just, you know, 50, 60 years later, it's still there.
Yeah.
And it's very, very
well,
real.
One of the things that's nice is to watch them connect with the current generation that's serving, because we have such big support from Davis-Monthan, and that is something that, for me personally, I love to see that. But another thing I think that happens on this flight is you have some of the men and women that have served might feel like they don't want to go or don't deserve to go because they didn't see combat. Maybe they were the mailman, or maybe they were.
Correct.
But it doesn't matter. They all you know, sign their name on the dotted line, and they were willing to do whatever they were asked to do, and that was truly a world effort. And I think sometimes this trip helps them see that, yeah, they did help out, and they were important.
Absolutely. It was a world effort, and I have actually talked a couple of veterans from our area into applying just for that very reason. They did not want to because they felt like, let's let the others go who saw combat. No, this was everybody was all in, and that's one of the reasons that period of time for our nation was so remarkable, is that sense of unity.
Yes.
It was incredible. Now, you have a partnership with U of A, Tom. Tell us about that.
Well, we've been working with the University of Arizona, the student ROTC and student veterans. That we formed a partnership, and we've actually collaborated on a couple of ventures, and one was an entire flight that was funded by the University of Arizona, so hats off to them.
And so you had young veterans.
Right.
Were they guardians for the...
They were guardians. And so we are working on a partnership with them for future flights. And what we'll do is we'll take a certain amount of their veterans as guardians, not displacing anybody or not displacing any family members. But they will be... they're willing to fund that. And it's just such a win-win situation. It's a win-win for both of the veterans, the older one and the younger one.
And you mentioned earlier the older veterans, when they're coming off the plane, and we saw this just a week ago, and they see the active duty soldiers there, and there's almost a sense of surprise, and then they're being saluted, and it is just you see their eyes light up.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I think there's an instant camaraderie there. I mean, even
Absolutely.
When you see them meeting and talking, and a mutual respect. And I think that they're proud to be able to, you know, be an example for those guys coming up. We always say the younger generation, those that are currently serving, they had big boots to fill, but they've done it well.
And they look like the younger ones look genuinely thrilled to be there and
yep.
to serve in this way and welcome these men and women back from this life-changing trip. It's just incredible. We are seeing, again, we've seen that transition from World War II to Korean War vets, and then now Honor Flight will transition to Vietnam vets at some point. What is going on?
Right. We are actually starting to take applications from Vietnam vets. We'll be revising our brochures and our applications this summer to update that. As the program is set up, you know, your older vets fly first, so your World War II, anytime we have a
Sure.
World War II vet, they'll be bumped to the top of the list. But once we don't have any World War II vets on the list and it's Korean, we will start putting Vietnam vets on with space available. So the Korean War guys would naturally probably be first because they're older, but sometimes you have openings at the last minute or for whatever reason people have plans. And so we will start putting a few Vietnam vets on. I would expect to see that next year, starting in 2019. So I'd encourage any of your listeners to, if you know a Korean War vet or a Vietnam vet, whether it's family or friend, encourage them to get their application in, because we do have, right now, our waiting list is about at 125, and I would expect our Vietnam list to be very, very large. So I would have them get those apps in as soon as they can.
Give the website one more time.
And it's going to be at www.honorflightsaz.org. And for the veteran app, you can actually go under for veterans, and there's an application. You can either print a hard copy or you can fill it out online and submit it that way also.
Okay, and Tom and Kathy Manser are the coordinators for Honor Flight Southern Arizona. Tom, how long have you been at that?
Well, we started in 2011 when we broke off from the Arizona hub into a northern and a southern Arizona hub. So we've been at it that long. And we actually started because we went to D.C. in 2004, and we just got so interested in seeing the memorial. When this opportunity showed up, we said, we're in. We're all in.
you are all in. And I know that it is. It can be overwhelming at some times. But, Kathy, why do you do this?
Well, I think both of our fathers were World War II veterans and that never got to make the trip. So in some way, that's a way to honor them. And, like Tom said, once we got under, once we went to that first flight, it just got under our skin. And I would say we're probably two of the luckiest people in the world because we've had the chance to meet 808 heroes, and I don't know that very many people can say that in their lifetime. So, yeah, it's just very, very humbling and gratifying.
Tom, just a short time left. What do you get out of this?
I get to watch, well, for me, history. I've read all the, about every battle, about every situation and engagement in World War II since I, you know, was out of high school. Now I'm getting to meet them. And someone that was actually related to some of those conflicts or some of those engagements, it's just, it's touching to me.
Very good. Well, my own father was a veteran of World War II, Korean War, and the Vietnam War. And unfortunately did not make it out there to see those memorials. So I'm glad, and we are committed as a newspaper, as you know, to making sure that we can get as many of these veterans out there to see these memorials as possible. We have been talking to Tom and Kathy Manser. They are the coordinators for Honor Flight Southern Arizona. I'm going to be back in this seat on Friday as we talk to Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy about lots of stuff going on down there. Bill has several of us sitting in for him during his vacation, so don't forget to check his photos on Facebook. And, of course, all his shows are archived at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, you make it a great Monday.